Yes, I have a bad connection, Joanne.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Everyone's kind of, I'm getting like ins and outs of the last part of the words.
Oh, okay.
So,
okay. Well, I can hear you just fine.
Oh, that's funny.
Huh.
Okay.
You go straight through.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I am a personal chef in Houston, Texas, longtime athlete, and I'm just trying to mentally prepare and package this stuff together.
That's right, yeah, and your website is melaniesmeals.com, is that right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, that's great, and you have the great opportunity that the Olympic trials are coming up in Houston. They'll be part of the Houston Marathon, which is coming up January 15th, 14th or 15th, I think, and so, yeah, it's exciting. You'll have the Olympic trials right in your own city there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I was saying that one of the things you could do, and any of you could do this if you're, I think there's a little bit of a background sound. Let's see.
Yeah.
If you're, if that's yours, you can just press star 6 on your phone to mute you if you want. Yeah, that's better. And but what you can do is for any of you that are going to athletic events or clinics or expos, first, ideally, if you can get a speaking engagement there, you know, talk to the race director ahead of time, you know, find out who's arranging the speaking, then you can do that. I think I'll put everyone on mute here for just a second. So there we go. And then if you want to speak, just press star 6 on your phone so that you can ask a question. So you can ideally become a speaker, or you can become a, you know, and you have to arrange that a few months ahead of time kind of thing. And then you could, oftentimes you can speak in and get a booth in exchange for speaking at an expo. And so often the booth costs $1,000, sometimes $2,000 for a booth. So if you can get one for free in exchange for speaking, it's worth a lot of money and a lot of exposure. That's how I've marketed my book. A lot of the times is have a huge poster with the book cover on it. And you have, you know, in the case of you know, the bigger races like LA Marathon, you've got 100,000 people going through the expo. That's a great exposure. And the next thing you can do is you could try to just contact the whoever, look on the website and see if there's a place to put an article, or if there's a place that says training, or sometimes even if there isn't, they're open to that sort of thing and say, can I just contribute an article to your website and put a link to my site there? So it's a great way for you to get a link to your website from a very highly trafficked site, especially the you know, the really big marathons like New York City and Boston, but any of them are good, especially the in Houston Marathon, of course, is huge. And then I was going to say, Melanie, if you're the third choice is even if you can't do those things, you can always go to the expo that day, the day before the race, and then just go around and have your business cards with you and maybe a tip sheet, you know, top 10 tips that are easy to just make a bunch of copies of, and then go around and network with the different people at the expo, all the different vendors, and you'll probably find some there that you can that you have a lot in common with, that you can work with. Maybe they can promote you, you can promote them, and do some kind of joint ventures. You can ask if you could put your tip sheets on their table there. Sometimes there's tables around where you can just put your brochures or cards, that anyone can put cards there. So expos are a great place. And you just walk around and meet people. It's just so exciting. Just really a lot of great folks there. You can get potential clients, coaching clients from that too. And you can probably meet the race director, the clinic director, and ask them about speaking the following year. So that's good too. So let's see. Let me take this off. Oh, mute here. Oh, does that? I don't know if Melanie, does that make sense, or is that helpful?
Yeah. Yes. Oh, yes. No. The expos are great.
Yeah. So you've got a great one coming up there in Houston, and you can, you know, if you see the different athletes, they may be walking around. Actually, you know, the people that are that are on the. I'm not sure if there's some kind of background noise. If you've got background noise, just go press star 6 on your phone. But, yeah, just you might see some of the other athletes there that are competing, so you can talk with them too and ask them about, you know, offer them free something, you know, a sample of your food. Kind of thing. So
yeah.
Great. Yeah. So let's see. I wonder, there's two people on the line that says anonymous. Well, it's Tanya. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, good. Yeah. Yeah, Tanya. And then there's one that says unknown. I'm not sure who that is. If there's someone else on the line.
Hi, Joanne. It's Amy.
Oh, hi, Amy. How are you? Oh, you're the one that says unknown, I think. For some reason, it says that on my panel. Yeah. So Amy's new as well. Do you want to introduce yourself to the group?
Sure. My name is Amy Haller. I live in Philadelphia, and I became certified as a life coach a year ago and have certifications in wellness coaching and positive psychology, and I've been a tennis coach for the last 25 years, and I really wanted to kind of put everything together, and that's what led me to the idea of becoming involved in wellness, and then I just a couple months ago heard about sports life coaching, and so I kind of rebranded myself, and I found Joanne a couple weeks ago, and I'm really excited to start offering mental training skills basically to tennis players in my area to start with, and we've got a lot of colleges and teams around here, and that's what I'd love to do. I'd love to offer these types of mental training skills programs to tennis players and teams in the area and then expand it.
Yeah.
I'm new in this area, but I'm really excited about learning this and developing a program here.
Yeah, and you've been a competitive tennis player since 10 years old, I think you said?
So yeah.
That's great. You really know the sport. Yeah, that's fantastic. So, yeah, that's great. And I think you had a question that you emailed in. Do you want to just ask me your question over the phone?
Sure. I mean, basically what I'm doing right now is I am contacting tennis pros in the area that have large programs with adults and kids and also some of the colleges and high schools in the area. And my question was, what do you think are the most important selling points when you are speaking to an athletic director or a tennis coach or somebody who's in a position that they offer a lot of different programs? What would be the main selling points to offer them mental training skills? You know, and kind of what's the best language to use and how to create a lot of excitement in the program so that, you know, you really get them interested in it.
Yeah, I think that's
a good question.
Yeah, exactly. I think Tanya, you had that same question about corporate audiences as well. So this,
yes.
Yeah. So the same principles apply whether it's sports or corporate. I think where first you want to identify their pain or their struggles. What it is that they are struggling with. So if you can, talk to them. An athletic director, a tennis coach, or team directors, or if it's the corporate world, you know, talk to the CEO or the highest person that you can get to, and first have a conversation with them and ask them, you know, a series of questions. There's a book out there, a new book that I've just been looking at. It's called Questions That Sell. So, you might want to look that up on Amazon, too, Questions That Sell, asking the right kind of questions that get your programs, get people interested in your programs. And some of the questions that I've used that are really helpful are just, first just get them to talk and say, tell me about your program and, what are the top three things that you struggle with, top challenges that you have. If you say top three or top five, then they're more likely to, give you more information. So there are top three concerns that you have in working with your players, that kind of thing. So get them to, talk about that, and then you can ask them what their, top three goals are, So for that year, since it's a, you know, the new year's coming up, this is a good time to talk about, you know, goals for the new year. So talk about what their top 3 to 5 goals are for the new year for their athletes, so that you get their language, you know, what it is that they're concerned about. And then you could ask them, you know, what their breakthroughs are, you know, what kinds of things have they, has worked well for them, top 3 or 5 breakthroughs for their athletes, their team. So get them to, you know, talk about those kinds of things, what their concerns are, because that's what people will pay for, is if you can solve their problem and create a solution to what it is that they, you know, what they're missing. And so you can then frame your program in terms of what they've just told you. So you want to make it very customized if you can for them. And as you talk to more, you know, athletic directors or tennis coaches or Tanya, as you talk to more corporate, you know, CEOs, you know, you'll get a, find a pattern, I think, of people. Yeah, a pattern of what people want and, you know, what the top concerns are, so that you can start to form a list of things that they are looking for. And then you can start to, you know, develop your selling points when you're speaking to these people. But I think some of the things that I found is, you know, things like... You know that motivation is always a big one for athletic directors and tennis coaches and or coaches of any sport, that you know, they have maybe trouble motivating their athletes. So that's why mental training skills can be such a huge huge benefit. And I'll just put this on mute for a second. For the background noise, and so motivation, and you can have, you know, you can talk about the, you can talk about what it is that you can do for them in terms of the kind of results that you've had in the past. I think, you know, coaches are always interested in good results and good stories about things that you've been able to work on with people. And that's why this program's good. Even if you don't have a lot of clients that you have worked with, you can, you know, get a practice client and work with them, and so that you can get some results there. And I can give you feedback on that. So talk about results and the kinds of things talk about the transformation that is possible with your program. So you don't want to necessarily, you know, there's a difference between benefits, features and benefits. And like if you're talking about a refrigerator, you know, they'll talk about, well, it has these features, you know, it keeps your, you know, it's a temperature gauge and it's got a light in there and it's got lots of room. But people want to know, what are the benefits? You know, what's this going to do for me? So you want to talk about the with your program, not only the features of, you know, I coach people X number of times and I here's how it works. First, people want to know, you know, think of WIFM, WIFM, what's in it for me? And that's what people are always concerned about. So think about, put yourself in their shoes and think of what is it that they want the most. And, you know, if you're with someone that doesn't have a lot of time, like Tanya, if you're with a CEO or something that doesn't have a corporation that only has 10 minutes with you, then you want to be really succinct and concise and come up with the top 3 things that your program can do and really be as precise as you can in the short period of time that you have. And then if you're really good and you present a lot of great information, then they'll open up, you know, give you more time, of course, too. I think you want to basically address their pain, their concerns, and their what they're really struggling with, and then how you can solve their problem. Think about it in terms of solutions to problems, because that's what people will much more likely pay for. And then also having great breakthroughs, stories, and thinking about a transformation. What by transformation I mean, like going from here to there, you know, from point A to point B. Think about clients that you've worked with, and they started at point A, you know, being frustrated and maybe not being able to be on their game, like in tennis, you know, just being think of a typical tennis player that you've worked with or that you'd like to work with, and the point A that they're at and what are their symptoms there, and then point B, where you want them to get to. And create that and that transformation. What is it that you do that can help them to get from point A to point B? And then once you talk about that, then get them interested in exactly what it is that the results. Then you can talk more about the features. You know how you get them there. You know exactly what the program involves and the amount of time and you know how much they can pay you and all of that. So yeah, that's kind of a little bit of an outline there. Does that help? Right. Just opening up your line. I don't know if Amy, are you still online?
Yeah, that helps.
Okay. Yeah, and we can talk more about it on the future calls too. Yeah. And so so that's good. And Tanya, are you there still?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you had another question too about. You want to ask the questions that you'd asked before?
Okay. Yeah, first, just on that question, do you find that certain language, like the term visualization or imagery, some corporate clients find that a little bit warm and fuzzy sometimes? I'm wondering if there's certain language that you find appeals more to corporate clients versus athletes.
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. And for those of you who are new, it's Tanya's up in Calgary, Canada, right? And yeah, you're working with equestrian riders as well as getting into the corporate area too.
Yeah.
Is that right? Yeah. And so.
Yeah, and all kinds of athletes.
Yeah, all kinds of athletes too. Yeah. So I think with corporate clients, you know, executives that you're working with, if you can call it. You know, you can call the term lots of different things. Mental rehearsal is a good one. You can use the term mental game, which is, you know, a familiar golf term that people use a lot. And men tend to really respond well to the term mental game because it's, you know, we all agree that, yeah, sports is a mental game. So, yeah, you can use those kinds of terms and I would say if you can give any kind of results that you've had from clients that you've worked with about how you can get from point A to point B, that really helps to market the tool to corporate clients, I think. Yeah, yeah. And being able to just talk about how, you know, the brain and any research that you can bring in about the how the brain works, that's sort of more objective and less warm and fuzzy. You know, like how the left brain is, you know, logical, analytical, and our tends to be our critic, our inner critic. You know, we overanalyze a lot of things, and people tend to overthink things. And if you can get into the right brain through, you know, breathing and centering and visualization or mental rehearsal, you know, relax more, then the right brain can take over that creative side so that, yeah, so that you can see the big picture and be able to see into the future and see exactly what it is that you want, see a real good picture of it. So, yeah, that's one idea with the corporate clients and, if you can use if when you're talking with corporate clients, if they are also an athlete, if they're, you know, a lot of them play golf or they play tennis or a certain sport, you can ask them, you know, are you involved in sports? And you can ask them how they you know, what they use there. Did you ever, you know, rehearse the game ahead of time or think about your goals? And of course they'd say yes and get them to tell a story about that, then you can relate that to how they can use that in the corporate world as well. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was also wondering, like, I have clients that they can see the visualization very clearly and vividly, and they have difficulty bringing the emotions and feelings, like senses, into it. And I had you know, gone through an actual experience with them, like you said, a time where they felt confident or had a breakthrough experience, and I found that helpful for them to start feeling those kind of senses. But I wondered if you had any other advice.
Yeah, for some, for people to bring emotion in to their visualization.
Yeah,
I think that if they can get into an experience that was really, you know, exciting for them, sometimes maybe they can't think of one that's, you know, maybe it's not sports related. They could start with, say, a vacation or something where, you know, one of their best times, maybe in college, you know, everyone had a great time in college, right? Those college parties or something, or when they were a kid, you know, sometime if you can open it up to any kind of possible experience, then have them imagine that. You know, maybe some people are really attuned to the water and go into the ocean, and that gets them really excited. So you could just ask them, what gets you excited in life, and what's what makes you, you know, if you could spend your time doing anything you want right now, what would that be? So you could, you know, kind of get them to open up to any kind of experience and first have them imagine that. You know, if you had a day off today, you know, you could ask them that. What would you be doing on that day off? You know, get them to go to that thing that they love to do the best. And, you know, that gets them excited about that. And you can have them practice visualizing that first. You know, maybe it's hiking up in the mountains, or maybe it's, if they're a musician, maybe it's playing the piano, or maybe it's, I, like as a kid, I remember the first time I got my first bicycle at, you know, 5 years old. You know, something that... is maybe it could be, yeah, ask them about a memory too, one of their best memories in the past. So if you can get them to get in touch with that, then you start with that emotion and see if you can, and then ask them to tell you about that, you know, tell me about that experience and bring your senses into it and have them describe that. Then you can go from that to another, you know, experience. Then they've got the skills and they know they have a success experience and they know they can do this. With something that they enjoy, then you can go to more of a, say, with a corporate client, more of a work-related situation and say, you know, think of it, tell me about your favorite client or favorite person that you've worked with at work. And, you know, always start with the good stuff and get them to bring in some emotion about that. And then have them describe that. So you kind of start with, in baby steps, I think is a good idea. You know, start with something that's easy, that's something very familiar to them, and then work toward things that are a little more difficult. So, yeah, does that kind of make sense?
Yep, that's great. Thank you.
Yeah, and have them write it down too, and sometimes music really helps too. Like if I have someone in my office, I'll play some music in the background, and that can help people really get into a rhythm and that kind of thing too. So that's good. And then I think you had a question about price range too for creating visualizations.
Yeah, I was wondering when it comes to custom visualization, like creating the MP3, what kind of price range would be reasonable, or whether you just bill per hour, or, you know, just wondering what's reasonable to charge if you're just doing a custom visualization for someone versus having a regular coaching session.
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think I've always done my visualizations kind of in conjunction with the coaching session. So I just charge the regular fee for whatever I'm charging that person, like a monthly fee of, you know, $1,000 a month, you know, four sessions, $250 per session kind of thing. I just include it in that session and make a MP3 for each session that they do, so that part of the session is coaching, and then part of it toward the end is creating a visualization around the learning for that session, that day, whatever it is that they brought up. We can do a visualization around that, and so it kind of helps solidify what they're learning or a solution to their challenge for that particular day. That's one way to do it. Or if you're just doing a visualization alone, I would say that's another thing to consider, and I think it's really a whole other stream of income for all of you. In this program, is that you can just do, you know, some people might not want to, they think of coaching as a long-term commitment or a lot of money, so they may not want to commit to that, but they want to just do a custom visualization CD, I mean, MP3 file, so that's a way to get clients in the door to just offer that, and then you can talk about your coaching as a way to say, well, this MP3 is, you know, people find it so valuable that we can create a whole library of these for you and just call it, you know, each time do another MP3 for them. So I would say you could charge the same amount or you could charge more if you wanted, you know, a little bit more since if you're just meeting with them once, it might take a little extra time to do an assessment and, you know, go through that visualization pre-assessment that's in our program and really get to know them and then create the MP3. You could bundle it together into one session and say it includes an assessment and an MP3 and your custom MP3 and a debriefing, a training session along with that to how to use the MP3, because you want people to not just have it but know, you know, how all the different ways that they can use it, that they can, you know, how they can gain new, you help them interpret the visualization that they've had right after you do it with them. So that's really important to allow time after you finish doing the visualization, I think, to, you know, that was one of the mistakes I made initially was I only did the visualization and then it's like, oh, the hour's up and they got to leave and go somewhere. And so they didn't get the full learning experience of the visualization. Of course, you could do it the next session and have them come in and then talk about their experience then if they're coming next time. But if they're just coming once, then you want to allow time, you know, an extra 20 minutes or so after you finish the visualization to interpret and ask them, what new insights do you have and what action steps can you take based on this visualization? So, you want them to be able to write down lots of their thoughts and really do something with this visualization so they put it into action. It's not just in their head, but it's out in their real life. So, so I think you could actually, you know, if I was going to charge normally $250 for a coaching session, but if they were just doing one, I would charge more like $300, you know, a little bit more. Instead of spending an hour with them, maybe spend an hour and a half for that first session, so you get to know them more, and that way you increase the chances that you'll. I think the more time you spend with someone, the more likely they are to buy more from you and to want to work with you more, and realize the value of what you have, so they'll want to continue with you. Does that kind of make sense?
Yes, thank you. That's good idea.
Yeah, I think so. So you can build a whole practice, a whole section of your practice, just on doing the visualization MP3s, some people will want to continue on, and others may want just the MP3, and then you can always plant in their mind that this is, say, the first one's a peak performance MP3, and say I also do MP3s for, we could do one for confidence building, one for getting rid of the negative thoughts, one for handling pressure, one for, rehearsing, all of that. So, rehearsing a particular, event that's coming up. So you can plant in their mind all the different things that you could make MP3s for. So, all the different topics. So kind of give them those ideas too. So, yeah, so that's a great I'm glad you brought that up, Tanya, because there's all kinds of different ways that you could use MP3s. And you could actually, do them in your office, and you could do them on site, at an equestrian event, anywhere that you want. So that's great. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So, Daron, I know you're there. Did you have a question or any thoughts?
No, I'm just listening in and getting some great ideas.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, thanks. So, let's see. I wanted to go ahead with our the training with product creation, and I'm just going to put this on a different track here so we can I'll have like a part one and a part two. So hang on, everybody, for just one sec.